John Campbell, or I always forget your title, business and economics.
All the way around.
Economics and business.
That's the one.
Sorry, why would it be the other way around? Why is it wrong one way but right the other?
I don't know. That's just the job they gave me.
Well, I'm changing it. Right, okay. Business and economics editor, good morning.
I don't know who the business and economics editor is. I'm the economics and business editor.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
You can get a pay rise if you change it around, maybe. Yeah,
well, actually, at the weekend when I was on the news channel, Anita McVeigh said I was the economics and political editor.
Brilliant. Okay, so look, give us a sense of what the DUP might be able to bring back to Northern Ireland, what they will be looking to try to bring back.
We've heard so much about DUP social policies over the last few days, but frankly, those are not anything to do with these negotiations. Fundamentally, what the DUP will be looking for is a financial package. And we only need to go back to 2015. And at that time, when it looked like there could be a hung parliament, the DUP produced a document which they were, if you like, hawking around to both Labour and the Conservatives, saying, here is the price of our support if one of you is can form a minority government. And I think at the heart of that, there was really three things they said. They wanted a budget settlement which would allow real terms increases in health and education spending over 5 years. They wanted extra capital investment for schools and hospitals, and they wanted help to transform public services in Northern Ireland. That's quite vague in some ways, but you're talking commitments of hundreds of millions of pounds there. Now, in terms of sources I was talking to at the weekend, they were saying the DUP knows that you can't just expect the government to write a big cheque and then send it to Stormont. It has to be assigned to specific projects.
Or nuanced.
Yes, it has to be. And the other thing is that they know that the way the kind of the block grant works, if you just say we're going to increase health spending in perpetuity in Northern Ireland, then Scotland, Wales and everybody else would have to get a taste. So they have to look at specific projects. So one thing which you suggested to me is what could be happening is there's previous financial deals which have been done between Stormont and Westminster, and they may want to revisit those to make them more flexible or more generous. For example, there's a thing called Together Building United Communities, and that's a fund which is supposed to basically build, if you like, mixed housing and also integrated schools or shared campuses. But getting those sorts of projects together can be quite difficult, so that there's a pot of money there which is hard to spend. So maybe you go back to that and say, let's make this more flexible, allow us to spend it in different ways. There are also specific...
So that could be more housing. In a nutshell, that could mean more housing for Northern Ireland.
Yeah, potentially you could reshape that so that more of that money can just go into social housing of any sort. Another policy which is mentioned to me specifically is air passenger duty. So that's the tax, effectively, that you pay on flights. And a lot of the parties here think that air passenger duty should be abolished in Northern Ireland because it would then make us more attractive as a tourist destination, and also because we have to fly more for business and stuff. It's unfair to us. The issue is that the way that it works, that if we were to cut air passenger duty, if Stormont was to do that, because it would then be giving less money to the Treasury in tax, £55 million would have to come out of the block grant to make up for that. So it may be that the DUP will say, let's have a look at air passenger duty again. Let's try and work a deal where we can cut air passenger duty, but we don't have to take such a big hit from the block grant. So in other words, we can cut air passenger duty, but do it for more or less free. That might be something they're looking at. I think infrastructure is something that they're also going to be looking at, spending on roads, new buildings and so forth. And you know, for example, there's this thing that which was a big idea of the DUP's called the Northern Ireland Investment Fund. It was supposed to be like a public-private partnership for getting more infrastructure spending. The European Investment Bank were supposed to be heavily involved in that. They're obviously a part of the EU. With Brexit, that looks less likely. So it may be the DUP could say, our Northern Ireland Investment Fund, let's put some money into that. So there's a whole, if you like, there's a whole bunch, I think, of micro measures, but my understanding is the DUP don't have a magic number that they're aiming at and saying, here's how we get to this.
What about one of the big ones? Mm-hmm. Could it affect how quickly corporation tax is reduced?
Well, in that Northern Ireland plan in 2015, the first thing in that plan was more satisfactory terms in relation to corporation tax. That was the first thing there. Now, obviously, we've moved on a bit from there. There's the whole issue that we've not had a budget at Stormont, makes corporation tax harder to deliver in the short term because we need to show the Treasury that we have financial stability. But you've got to think, if the corporation tax is still a policy all the parties want to pursue, the DUP might say, let's try and do something on this. Because again, like air passenger duty, if we were to cut that tax locally, we're sending less money into the revenue, and therefore the government say, well, then you get less back in terms of the block grant. And the corporation tax, the bill every year coming out of the block grant would be at least £100 million probably. So the DUP might say, OK, well, let's have a look at that again. And even when Martin O'Mulder, he was Sinn Féin finance minister, he was saying, we still need to talk to the Treasury about the cost of this. And so it gives more leverage on that.
Yeah, because politically Sinn Féin, of course, are bought into reducing corporation tax, quote, if it's affordable, unquote.
Yeah.
So if the Conservative Party, if the British government made it affordable, that would be a prize that the DUP might bring back for everybody in Northern Ireland.
It could be something they're looking for. And the thing is that we've never had the Treasury's bottom line on what they think the cost of corporation tax would be. So that would be a number which could potentially be easily fudged. I think in overall terms, what the DUP will be looking for in the financial package side of things anyway is to say, look, we have done a deal for the good of all the people of Northern Ireland, unionist, nationalist, you name it, everybody will benefit from what we're doing here.
So setting the politics aside, financially, is this like a huge Christmas present for Northern Ireland? Is this the jackpot for Northern Ireland?
Well, it's a time when there's more leverage than Northern Ireland has ever had, really, in terms of trying to get a deal. You say it, though, you know, in the Republic quite a lot, where if a government needs, say, support of independent candidates or whatever, they will say, OK, we'll give you that road that you wanted or whatever, that kind of particularly facility in your hospital, you'll get that. So it gives you leverage. And of course, the DUP won't want to overplay their hand because, you know, as well as the DUP selling this here, there's also an issue for the Conservatives. Because, they Northern Ireland is often seen as an area of the UK where we constantly have our hand out and we have more funding per person than any other region of the UK as it stands. So from the Conservatives' point of view, how they present it, they won't want to make it look too generous. You know, there's two parties here. The other interesting line which somebody used to me over the weekend, a senior political source, was the DUP will be the party that kills austerity. Now,
really?
Maybe that's a big boast, but I think, you know, the DUP is a fairly populist party on economics. Although they like, you know, things like keeping the rates low or whatever, they don't want more austerity. You know, you look in their that 2015 document, they said they wanted the abolition of the bedroom tax across the UK. In 2017, they said that they didn't want the triple lock on the state pension to end, nor did they want winter fuel allowance for pensioners to become means tested. They wanted to keep it universal. So I think it's a big, you know, to say we killed austerity would be a big boast, but ultimately what they're saying is that we won't back those changes to the state pension, we won't back the changes to winter fuel allowance, new austerity policies, we won't back. But
that's something they can agree on with Sinn Féin.
Yes. Now, it may stick in Sinn Féin's craw if the DUP come back boasting we killed austerity, but it's something they would live with. I think, you know, the issue, though, is, you know, that 2015 line about we want the end of the bedroom tax, is that still something which is deliverable from the Conservatives? I'm not sure. Also, there are lots of benefit cuts which have been announced but not implemented yet. And I would be doubtful if they would be able to stop those happening, because even the Labour manifesto had those benefit cuts still happening into the future. So things like tax credits become universal credit, which then is less generous.
Really interesting. John, thank you very much indeed. Listening to that, Sam McBride from the Newsletter, Alison Morris from the Irish News. Morning, Sam. Morning, Alison.
Morning, Steve.
Morning.
Good morning, good morning. Well, when you listen to John Campbell there and the potential of what could come back to Northern Ireland for everybody, Sam, it could be a jackpot bonanza, this.
I think John is fundamentally right. This focus over the weekend from the national media, social media, all sorts of other places, even some senior politicians on the DUP's social policies and abortion and gay marriage and climate change and whatever, is really a complete red herring. That's not something which I think there's any suggestion that they're even going to introduce into these talks, let alone get their 2015 wish list, which is not holy writ. It has changed since then a bit. Things like the EU referendum, which are in there, have happened, obviously. Things like Brexit now mean that they have fresh concerns and potentially fresh demands. But that gives us a very clear indication of what they're asking for. And the big question now for the DUP is, do they simply ask for financial inducements which will benefit everyone in Northern Ireland? And I think which would actually potentially make things a little bit awkward for Sinn Féin if the DUP were seen to be bringing in extra money to Northern Ireland, and Sinn Féin, the party which said they were opposed to austerity, were not actually delivering very much on that. Or do the DUP go down the route of saying, we will deliver something very specific for our voters parading legislation, military veterans, troubles-related cases. That's a big call for the DUP at this point.
What way do you think they'll go?
I think that some people in the DUP over the weekend certainly had the view that they should not simply take the financial route, that really Sinn Féin have chosen to collapse Stormont. They haven't shown any great inclination to getting it back, and that there will be consequences for that. I think it's one of the reasons why, despite all of the gloom over the weekend, both locally and nationally, as to what this means for getting Stormont back on the road, actually there are very significant reasons to believe that Sinn Féin really now need to get Stormont back, because otherwise what they're facing into is not just Tory direct rule of public services in Northern Ireland, but Tory direct rule with the DUP at the Prime Minister's right elbow. And that's not a terribly palatable prospect to anybody who's voted for Sinn Féin.
Alison Morris?
Well, I think that the problem is that they could go over and they could argue for all these additional financial packages and financial help, but without a functioning Stormont, it's very difficult to distribute that money or for people to actually see that money being used in real terms. So while the DUP at this point in time are probably, you know, basking in the glory of being kingmakers, there's still an incredible body of work to be done before any of that's of any use. And I tend to agree with Sam. While I do think that obviously the main bulk of their negotiations are going to be in relation to financial packages, they're also going to need to bring back something for their party faithful, and that's something that will only benefit one side of
the
community.
But how could Sinn Féin argue against, Alison, more money for Northern Ireland?
Well, they can't argue against more money from Northern Ireland, but what they can argue against is what they've already put down, the red lines of getting Stormont up and running, because even as John was said about the change in money which was being designated for, say, shared housing, just to go into social housing, those policies have to be passed by Stormont. That money can't go anywhere unless there's a functioning assembly. So I think that that's still the main problem here, is it doesn't matter what they negotiate, unless there's a finance minister and there's a budget and there's a functioning executive in place, how does that money then get filtered down that you can see the worth of it in the community? I also do think that they're going to have to get some kind of negotiation for the hardliners in their party. They're going to have to be seen to deliver something. But the main problem is Theresa May is in an incredibly unstable position right now. The Scottish Tories themselves fared so much better than they were meant to, and therefore she owes them something as well. They're going to want to get something out of these negotiations. And then what's going to happen is the Welsh Assembly going to say, hold on a wee second, what about us? So she can't be seen to be throwing pots of money at Northern Ireland, because that's just going to cause dissent within her own party in other regions, and she really cannot afford any dissent at this time.
Sam?
Well, I mean, just going back to the first thing that Alison was saying there, certainly the DUP would want to be in the position where they are the people that are doling out this money in Northern Ireland, so if it comes into the block grant, one way or another, that they are actually able to take credit for it in Northern Ireland. Having said that, if Stormont doesn't come back, I don't think that's necessarily an impediment to them getting credit for this, because there will be direct rule. That's very clear from the statement of the Secretary of State last night, that this deadline at the end of this month, really now we have 20-odd days to get Stormont back, or else he takes the reins. It's very clear from that I think the DUP will be able to say that even if he is the person that's distributing the money as a direct real minister or a team of ministers, they are the people who have delivered it. So yes, their preference would be to be handing that out themselves as the finance minister or as devolved ministers. But if that doesn't happen, I still think it's a much preferable position for them than it is for Sinn Féin, who really won't get any of the credit for any of it.
That's true. They do need at some stage to get back down to the negotiations. But the problem that we have at this point in time is we have a deal between the DUP and the Conservatives, and we have a Conservative Secretary of State who's meant to sit in and arbitrate over these talks. So we're really going round in circles here in a cul-de-sac. People do want to see the Assembly up and running, but I can't see how the Assembly is going to be up and running this side of Christmas for a start. And unless there's an independent chair brought in to chair those talks, I can't even see how they're even going to get off the ground at this stage. It does look likely we obviously are going to some kind of partial direct rule. The budget will be delivered in July through direct rule. That much is obvious. There's nothing's going to happen before then. But I don't think it's going to be a generous budget. I think it's just going to be a holding budget. I think it's just going to keep the lights on. That's all it's going to do. There's not going to be any massive amounts of money doled out at that stage.
John Campbell, you're still with us. How quickly might we see the colour of Theresa May's money over here?
Well, I suppose on the idea, if Arlene Foster is going to Downing Street on Tuesday, I'm sure they'll want to announce something there. And I don't think there's any point in them being there unless there is something to announce. And certainly sources I were talking to were saying what the DUP will want is to see something tangible here in the short term. It's not going to be enough for them to have a policy which, say, might deliver fruit in, you know, 4 or 5 years' time, they're going to be able to want to say to their voters, here is something we have delivered on the ground as a result of our support for Theresa May. But it's, you know, it's what actual shape that they put on that.
OK. John, thank you very much. Sam and Alison, thank you very much indeed. Morning to you all.